Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Welcome to Agent's Dossier, episode number 7. We've got a couple of players here who are wondering if they're going to survive the next hour. Let's start with Pooja.
Hi, I'm Pooja. I'm playing Neha Singh, also known as Osprey. And currently, you know, wondering why Ocelot is such a lubber.
Aw. Hi, y'all. I'm Jay, and I'm playing Parker Allen. Parker Friedman Allen is his full name, codenamed Ocelot. And yeah, we're in it. We're right in it.
And we are not alone.
So you guys had gone to Edna Bay to find out more about this cult. Parker's wife had shown up in a picture that from a cult that was in the area. You showed up and went to the local bar and asked some questions. And when Neha went to the bar, she ordered some drinks, and this coin that has been following her around shows up, and she had left it way back in Virginia, so it freaked her out quite well. She went to Parker, told Parker kind of the backstory of the coin. They took the coin and got out of the bar right away. Then later, they went back to see if anything had happened. And the bar had looked like it had been in a sandstorm, and everybody in the bar had died.
Yep.
Sunburns. Yep. Broiled skin, all that good stuff.
Drowning in sand.
And you guys left right away to avoid detection. You decided that night to go check out the Black Cod fishery, and then you were going to make your way over to the cult site, which are at opposite ends of the town. They're outside of the town in the forest. And you went out to the fishery and you saw several guards walking around. The fence it looked like way more security than a small fishery in a small Alaskan town in the middle of nowhere really needed. High fences, lights, guard dogs, the whole nine yards. So then you went from there and you went over to the cult site because you're just getting intel. And you guys went over to the site and you heard people talking in tents. There's all these tents set up. And then in the center is this like little amphitheater, like, you know, talking circle kind of thing where a bonfire would be. And you were stealthily trying to make your way around. And Parker found the largest stick he could stepped on it. And it was this big crack.
Mm-hmm.
Then this horrible sounding howl came from the forest, not far from where you are at. And everybody in the tents shut up real quick. They were like, shh, be quiet. That is where we pick it up. You guys are in the forest. It is dark. There are stars out, but of course the canopy of pine trees is limiting the amount of light that you have. You hear the sound of something large walking. I'm going to use Pooja's word earlier of lumbering towards the area of Parker or Ocelot. What do you guys want to do in this few seconds you have before whatever this is appears?
I'd like to hide again or try to hide.
Okay.
If that seems like a wise thing to do, to not be standing here like a goober.
Right. All right. So go ahead, guys, and give me a stealth roll.
Oh, I love these dice. I rolled a 6.
I rolled a 98.
Oh, my God. Oh. Why are you so bad at sneaky?
I don't understand. I don't know if I'm doing this wrong. I don't know if I'm doing the wrong. I'm rolling a D100. It's terrible.
Yeah. And you have like 10 stealth. Your stealth is terrible.
My stealth is terrible.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
So before we get to what's going to happen to Jay, Osprey, what are you doing? How do you hide?
I'm going to say that as soon as I hear this howl. I'm going to climb up a tree. First thing is like, okay, cool. I don't want to be on the ground. I don't want to leave like as little of a scent trail as possible.
Right.
So I jump up to a low branch and then make my way partially up into the tree line. And I try to reach down to Ocelot to help you.
You scurry up this tree and Ocelot, you see her reaching down towards you. And behind you, you hear the sound of these footsteps and a low, weird, growling sound. Osprey, from your vantage point, you see a humanoid figure probably about 7 feet tall with hair all over and 3 mutated heads that have sprout from basically where its collarbone is. It's got these like large heads that are protruding out. One of them is obviously non-functioning at all. It's just kind of hanging there. And it's got these weird long fingernails, not like claws, just really long fingernails. And it is, we'll say about 10 feet behind Ocelot. I'm going to have you both roll sanity because I think that the fright of knowing that this thing is right there, it has seen you, and you can smell it too. It does not smell pretty. So give me sand checks first.
Tell me you made it.
Oh, God, no.
I need to go to jail.
I tried a different... Listen, I moved to a different online dice roller. I'm trying online dice rollers, and this is not going well for me. That's a 79.
I got a 71. I also did not make it. I'm not having a good night. I was just hoping that one of us did.
The shock of the coin and seeing the sand and all of that, that's mind-bending. But this is a physical manifestation of weird. And it's the first time you have, at least Ocelot, has been around something like this. Osprey has encountered weird things, but they were shadowy figures, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They were not in the flesh.
So much flesh. Too much flesh.
And with one dead head, just it's too much.
I don't think this is what they meant when they said dead heads.
All right, so you both take 4 points. Keep an eye on your breaking point. When you get down to your breaking point, let me know, because you then get a permanent malfunction.
Oh, good.
Something very bad goes wrong. Okay, so you guys are horrified, obviously. This thing is a few feet away from Ocelot. What is your response up in the tree, Osprey?
I'm going to start shooting.
Okay.
Sorry in advance, Ocelot.
Yep.
So go ahead and roll to hit and let me know what you get.
Okay. I got a 52, which is so close. I have a 60 firearm, so it just barely worked.
Okay, great. So you shoot into this thing and roll me a 10-sider to let me know.
Do a whole 2 points of damage. That die really likes twos.
You have now alerted this creature to your presence. You hit it, you graze it, it lets out this horrible sound. Suddenly, Ocelot, you hear it running towards you. What do you want to do?
I guess I'll shoot it.
Okay. So you're going to spin around and shoot?
Yeah. I mean, I hear the thing running. I heard this. Yeah, I'm just going to shoot and then hopefully get the heck out of here.
Okay, cool. So same thing. Give me a fire roll and...
Well, now these things are doing better. That's a 13.
Excellent.
And my firearm's a 50, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 10 side?
Yep.
That's a 1.
Only one of us has been drinking all night.
Maybe I'm just
not saying.
I'm a fed. I, you know, knock on doors.
I mean, don't they make you go to, like, you know, the range?
It's just, I knock on doors and I wave my badge around. That's how I get things done.
Oh. We're so bad at this.
So it's going to swing at you and try to knock you to the side. And I rolled a 9.
Of course.
Lord. You do have a dodge.
Okay. What?
So you know, even though I rolled really well, you should roll your dodge.
All right. I'm going to roll my dodge. Got a 55. So that's cool.
Okay.
My dodge is 30.
Don't forget to mark it, because you can improve it by 1%. If we survive at all.
At all.
Oh, well, I rolled the same damage you did. You take 1 point as it tries to knock you over the side. At this point, you guys hear the sounds of cultists yelling and, you know, running in all directions as they hear gunfire. So this thing's on top of you now. It smells really bad. And you notice that it seems to have clothing sticking out from parts of its skin.
Mm.
Like at one point it was 3 people that merged into one, and their clothing kind of merged as well. So like you see like a collar coming out of its collarbone,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing.
Ugh.
I enjoy horror.
Yeah.
If this turns out to be the first Delta Green team, Wes.
What do you guys want to do?
I'm going to lean into this minor bit of panic that I've had.
Okay.
Use it as an inhuman shield for my weapon. I'm going to shoot it again.
Okay. So just so you know, if you critically fail, you're firing down and it's right on top of your partner.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But it's huge and he's not that big.
Yeah.
True.
I'm still doing it.
Go for it. Hey,
it's better
you
than the alternative.
Right. I said at the start, I don't know how long anybody's going to live during this thing, so.
These dice like me better, and I got an 11.
Excellent. So you shoot it. Give me a roll.
Oh, 6.
Excellent. So at this point, you know, it's starting to bleed profusely from a couple of different areas. And that brings us to Ocelot, who you were not knocked down. It's just right on top of you. So what do you want to do?
I'm a shoot about it.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do, a shoot. So here we go. God damn it.
I don't think the digital dice roller likes you, Jay.
Nothing likes me today. It's a 52.
Oh, that's so mean.
That's worse than like getting to like a 70.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, da, fat.
All right. So it's able to somehow gracefully, you know.
Right. It's right on top of me.
Way.
I can't get
did
my gun up fast enough.
Did you just say it was graceful? That's just not even fair. It's 3 people stuck together into a thing.
Well, then
it's
you
not
get,
allowed to also be graceful.
You get 3 dexes times, you know, their dexes times 3. And
mm-hmm.
Ooh, all right. So I rolled a 13 again. I'm rolling really well. Ocelot, can you give me a dodge roll, please?
Sure. I mean, at this point, why not? That's a 62, so nope.
Nope. This time you take 4 points and it clocks you.
Oh, man, that's going to sting. That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, you stagger back a foot into the tree.
Oh, God.
So, Osprey, you're realizing that you're going to either need to hit this thing really well, or you might have to make a tactical retreat really quick. What are you at, Jay, now? You're at 9 hit points?
Eight hit points.
Yeah, so you're bruised and bloodied at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So you're realizing that you guys might have to get out of here quick.
Yep.
What do you want to do?
I would like to get out of here quick.
I mean, you go and I'll cover you.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to run, Ocelot?
Yep.
Okay.
I am running away.
Okay. Run away.
So Robin ran away.
Yeah,
away.
I think the same. I did not. It's not true. Let's use dexterity for you to,
okay,
get away.
All right.
Yeah, let's use dexterity.
All right, let me do a roll. Hey, that's a 39 under my 60. Hey!
Now, here's the question. Do you run towards the cult members into the main area with lights, or do you run away down the main road that you guys entered from?
Down the main road. I'm not ready to deal with cultists at this point. So down the main road, just trying to flee the situation, especially before anyone really sees me.
Okay, so I'm going to roll right now. 1, 2, 3, it stays where it's at and tries to get up to where Osprey is. 4, 5, 6, it runs after you, Ocelot. Okay, so you're running and you don't hear anything behind you, Ocelot, as you're going down the road.
Osprey, this creature starts to climb the tree trying to get to you. It's at that point that you see that it has 15 fingers on both hands. Some of these fingers are melded together. Like I said, clothes are sticking out of this thing from three different people. It's very horrific and climbing up towards you. Do you want to jump out of the tree and try to run away and hope you don't break anything, or do you want to keep firing?
I'm going to keep firing. I've done okay so far. I saw that Ocelot got injured and I want to give him the best chance to get a head start, because I am obviously better at this physicality thing than he is.
Clearly. So clearly.
You fire down at this thing, and I'm going to give you a bonus die. Basically, you get to roll a second D10 because it's climbing up a tree, it's really close, and you're firing down. So I'll give you the best chance possible of hitting it. I'm also going to say that you can shoot twice before it gets to you.
Sweet. Well, my first roll got a 38 as my better roll.
Cool.
And on my second, that's just straight up an 8.
Nice.
Nice. Well done.
So do damage twice.
First one is a 7, and second one is a 10.
Wow.
You are the preferred die.
That's the good one.
The how much sanity do you want to lose die are getting put over on the other side so they don't take the rest.
The first bullet goes straight into its shoulder. The second bullet, you hit its center head and basically render it as dead as the left head. And so now it's got two of these heads kind of flopping around. The only living one left screams in pain and falls to the ground and runs off into the forest. You know, I'm not going to make it take any sand, but...
Any more sand.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
You're in this tree, Osprey, and Ocelot's gone. He's disappeared into the night, and there's a bunch of cultists running around. They're panicked, and you hear this big booming sound come over the speakers, this large low bell sound, and all of them suddenly just stop where they are, and this man appears. You don't quite see where he comes from, and he walks around and he starts just touching their faces. He says, "My children, everything is okay. We've been protected from the beast once more. You have nothing to worry about. Go back to your tents and get some rest. The gods were with us tonight." And you see them all start to mill back towards their tents, Osprey. And he looks over into your direction, and you're sure that he's looking straight at you, but you don't know how he would be able to see you because you're in a tree hanging on for dear life. And he cracks this unhinged smirk, I'll call it, and then starts walking back to whatever tent he came from. And within 5 minutes of that bell being rung, it's completely silent and all the lights go off. And the only thing you see is a red amber of cigarette burning over by the far side of the cult tents. Ocelot, Your brain has finally said it's okay to slow down. What do you want to do?
Well, taking how far I've come and look around, I guess, for Osprey and try to figure out how to get back to her or if the creature is anywhere. I mean, I heard the gunshots, I heard the bellow, but I don't know where she is. So I guess I just sort of like try to creep back a little bit and see if I can see her coming from somewhere semi-hidden.
Okay. It's at this point, as you're making your way back, you don't hear the footsteps. It very much had loud footsteps. And all of the lights that had gone on in the campsite are off. And you feel warm blood trickling down from these holes.
Yeah.
From these scratch marks of where this thing hits you. And you're pretty sure that nothing's broken, but you're bruised pretty badly.
Yeah.
Now, usually if you guys get separated during a mission, there is some kind of protocol that you would go with. Like, where would we rendezvous? How would it work? Just real quick, what between you guys as partners, where would you guys have set that up?
I mean, we'd probably meet by the B&B we're staying in. You know, maybe there's like sort of telephone pole on the road a little bit away. So it's not just sort of like loitering there, but near the B&B.
Why don't we say that there's like a telephone booth? Because we know that there are payphones here.
Yeah. So there's a telephone booth.
Like, yeah, there's a phone booth nearby. Wait near that. And then if something really bad happens, we could call for help. Like, that's kind of a backup plan.
Okay. All right, so is that where you head for, or do you try to go back to the cult site?
I actually do not do the protocol. I don't try to go all the way back, but I try to sort of circle around nearby. And again, I'm just hoping that she's going to come this way on her way out.
Absolutely. Osprey, you're up in the tree, and you see the ember of this cigarette light up every once in a while, and everything else is calm. What do you want to do?
I'm going to go find that smoker.
Okay.
They obviously know what the fuck that thing was, and I want to know what they know about it.
Okay.
You're going to learn that smoking is bad for your health in more ways than one.
So are you trying to be stealthy? Because, I mean, getting out of the tree is no problem. You don't need to roll for that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No. But making it across the campsite, do you want to try to be stealthy, or are you just walking over? How do you approach it?
I think at this point, stealth is out the window. I mean, we have fired many rounds.
Yeah. They know it's not a group of hunters.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you know, I guess your gods work in mysterious ways, and some of those ways have guns. Yeah. So I don't think that there's a lot of benefit in trying to be stealthy anymore. And there's more benefit in coming out and, like, pistol whipping someone.
So what we're going to say is that you get out of the tree, you're walking, you're halfway across the campsite when Ocelot returns and you see a figure walking across with purpose, and your vision has adjusted to the night so you can tell that it's your partner, and she has given up the guise of stealth. So if you want to catch up to her, you can, or you can just hang back a little bit. It's your call.
I'm going to hang back a little bit. I don't know why she's doing what she's doing, and I don't want to, like, sort of get in the way of her play, but I also want to back her up. Can I sort of creep around?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you?
I'm going to try. I'm going to try, because why
not? There's like a clear path and one stick, and they're like, oh, I need to step on this.
Exactly. But I'm going to try to sort of creep around sort of that silo thing and, like, try to flank whoever Osprey's going to talk to.
Okay, so I will even give you a advantage die, because this person is focused on Osprey.
Oh, cool.
And so I will give you, I'll give you every chance in the world to make this roll.
Oh, boy. All right. So I'm going to need that second roll. And the second roll, I got it. The first roll, woo-hoo, just for funsies, was a 99.
Oh, my God.
The second roll was a 5. Yep.
You're like narrating. Like Pink Panther style.
Look at me creeping into your. Look at me over here. Don't look at me because I'm creeping, but look at me. Oh, yeah. But nope, this time. Shoof.
All right. So you clearly see this man that you are assuming is the cult leader. He is dressed in long, colorful robes.
He's smoking a cigarette, and he's not very far from the silo. And he's watching Osprey make her way across the campsite, and you guys will end up there at the same time. Tell me what happens. How do you engage this person? Either one of you.
I'm gonna go up and I'm gonna say, like, do you greet all your visitors this way?
After our visiting hours, I wasn't expecting visitors. How did we greet you?
You know, the three-headed human Cerberus.
The creature. That is not part of our religion.
Isn't it?
No. It appeared a few weeks ago. He takes a long, antagonizing drag off his cigarette, blows smoke into the air, crystallizes a little. He is not aware of you yet, Ocelot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to stay out of view. I don't even know if Osprey has seen me, but I'm trying to stay out of view.
Yeah, no, with a five, you are as nimble as a cat. So you have to decide. You know, it's up to you when you want to be seen at this point.
I'll pick my moment.
Okay. He just says that. What is your response? What do you want to say to him?
Where did it come from?
I don't know. It showed up a couple weeks ago looking for food, broke into our cantina and stole some stuff out of there. We've been able to keep it away by staying quiet at night. It only comes when it hears loud sounds. My question, since you've asked yours, is what are you doing here?
We heard there was someone preaching a new world order out here. We thought we'd check it out, see how, if it made sense, if there was something better.
Oh.
And the next thing you know, like, three-headed Cerberus. I mean, that's kind of redundant, human Cerberus.
You just happen to have a gun with you.
It's Alaska.
Night gear.
But I'm just dressed in black.
That's normal. You're rocking around our campsite with a handgun, all dressed in black. You're not part of the federal government at all.
Yeah. Totes, the feds are sending one rando woman to come and, like, interrogate you after being attacked by some goddamn monstrosity.
Takes another sarcastic long drag off his cigarette.
That's totally what the feds do.
I never said that you were...
Have you seen Waco? Like, they just come in and then they bomb you or whatever now. And I just wave my hands around some.
So, well, we're not preaching a new world order. We're preaching a religion about connecting with the older gods of the world and being one with nature. You're more than welcome to stay around and talk with people if you want to. That's your call. But we don't have anything to do with whatever that thing is.
And you say that I heard you tell your people that the gods protected you. But you obviously knew. I mean, do you have other protections?
Who's not to say that our gods didn't send you at the right time?
Oh, you're one of those.
He now takes a long, annoyed drag off his cigarette. Well, you should be careful if you're really by yourself. Obviously, there's horrible things in the woods.
Yeah, and not all of them have multiple heads.
I've only seen the creature from afar, so I'll have to take your word on it.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, even from afar, what did you think those were? Like, stuffed?
Anyway.
Fine. Okay, so what's your name anyway?
And then he just says, well, good night, and walks into his little domicile thing that's next to the big silo, ignoring your question.
Asshole.
100%.
Should I say it less under my breath than I absolutely should? I'm going to turn around and walk away.
All right. So, yeah, he gave you as little as possible, obviously. Ocelot, what do you want to do?
I'm going to wait for Osprey to walk away far enough, and then I'm going to creep up to the guy's door and see if I can go inside.
Yes, you can. You get up to the door, and you pull back the flap.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting cross-legged on the floor with a book open in front of him, and he looks up towards you.
And I don't raise my gun at him, but I do let him see that I'm carrying one.
So, she wasn't alone. What can I do for you?
Where's my wife?
We have several women here. Which one's your wife?
Janice. Janice Allen.
Oh, Janice. Well, she's, I don't know, in one of the tents, probably? Does she want to see you?
Which one?
You're making a lot of assumptions here.
Which tent?
I believe she's in tent number 4. But again, are you sure she wants to see you? I mean,
she needs to come home.
She seems to be pretty happy here. She's been with us for a while.
I don't know what you've done with her. I don't know what you're playing at up here, but my wife is coming home with me.
Your wife has seen many gods, and after you see many gods, it's hard to go back to a normal life.
I don't know what drugs you've been feeding her. I don't know what sort of weird tales or rituals you've involved her in, but I'm taking her with me right now.
We only partake in the truth.
Whatever. Tent 4, okay? Don't you follow me, otherwise I'll use this, and this will make it'll be a lot messier.
Do what you will.
And I do. I back out of there, and I look around for what tent 4 might be.
Okay, so you back out, and are you trying to make sure Osprey doesn't see you at all still?
Yeah, Okay. I mean, I waited for Osprey to get relatively far away before I went in.
So, Osprey, you're pretty far down the road at this point. It's night, so you're not going to pick up on the small trickle of blood that has been following Ocelot all the way back to the camp. You walk out and you get to the main area, and there's this sound, much like the large gong, but it's a different timbre. What I want you to do is roll against your intelligence, because this sound is almost crippling. Ocelot needs to make the roll.
Yeah. So I roll against my intelligence roll?
Yep. Just straight up intelligence roll.
Intelligence roll. Okay.
So
let's see how this goes. 15.
Okay, cool. So you don't take any willpower points, but it's really loud. And Osprey, you're far enough away that it doesn't affect you, but you hear it slightly. You hear some kind of noise. And out of all of the tents come these very agitated cult members. And they start to rush you like a huge wave. Let's see. You have alertness at 50. Give me a roll against your alertness.
That's me again?
Yep. Ocelot, sorry.
9.
Excellent. You see your wife in the mass of people. There's about 50 of them spilling out into the main area. Your wife looks very different. She has strange makeup on her whole face, and she's cut her hair back pretty short, and they are running at you on all fours, like dogs almost. They're coming at you really fast.
What
do you want to do?
I want to run towards my wife, I guess.
That's right. Light into them. So you're going to run into the mass?
I'm going to run into the mass and try to get to my wife.
Okay. All right.
You did so well there, and then you had all the people skills, and now you're going to die.
Or not. Maybe this will be a grand success.
Yep. Totes.
They're going to be attacking you and trying to basically pull you apart. If you can get to your wife, she's obviously in a frenzied state.
Yeah, the goal here is to do one of those things where, like, I run into the crowd, grab her, and then keep running and sort of drag her away.
Okay, so to grab her, you're going to do unarmed combat to fight off people while you grab her. And then your second role is going to be to run with her out. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to make this work. We're going to do a weird persuade roll. So your first roll is going to be grabbing her. Your second roll is going to be persuade.
Okay, sure. So my first roll, grabbing her, is an 11.
Awesome.
So I successfully grab her.
Yeah, you have her, and you're pulling her with you, trying to persuade her to come along.
Mm-hmm.
She sees you. Give me a roll.
All right. That's a 90.
Ooh. Oh, no, you were so close.
Everything was going so well. So well.
She starts to scream, let me go,
And she shocks you so much because you were really hoping that, obviously, when she saw you, she'd be like, oh, okay, this is my husband. But she seems almost like she doesn't know who you are. She's like, let me go, let me go. And the crowd, I'm going to have the crowd attack you with one roll.
Okay.
Okay, they miss. They're swinging at you. You're able to kind of move around, and you've got her. Here's the situation. You can try to pull her, but the mass is pulling against you at this point, and you realize that you can either escape and try again later, or you risk never leaving this camp.
God, I'm going to escape.
Probably a good choice. Because they missed, you let go of her, and once again, you start to run. Just roll against your constitution, just because you've been bleeding a lot and everything else. Give me a roll.
18.
Oh, wow. So even with all the blood loss, you're able to run. And sure enough, as soon as you get far enough away, you hear the sound of the soothing bell hit, and you make it back to your rendezvous point outside of the bed and breakfast. At this point, it's probably 11 o'clock at night, and you're bleeding substantially.
Yeah, it's been a rough night.
Make an intelligence check, and you don't want to make this check. You want to fail this.
Okay.
Did you roll like a one?
No, my intelligence is 55. I rolled a 49. Oh my God.
I was about to say the blood dice come through again because my intelligence is a 50 and I rolled a 57.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So, Jay, as you guys go back in, you're pretty sure that you saw the clothes that were sticking out from that creature are very similar to the gear that Delta Green uses when they do a tactical strike. So yeah. It was those three people that went missing.
Wes.
Cool. Cool. This is great. Everything is coming up great.
So just give me a little bit of a sanity check for that.
Just a little one.
Just a little one.
Just for funs.
Just
for
funsies.
Yep. Okay.
I love how I'm getting scolded by Pooja. Wes.
Thankfully, I made that one. That was a 34.
Okay, so you're still going to take 1 point because that's the fact that something melded three people together is pretty terrible.
Yeah. So gross.
So gross.
Thanks, I hate it.
I do my best. So you guys are in the room. You're safe. You're being patched up. Go ahead and, you know, talk about whatever you're going to talk about.
What took you so long to get back to the rendezvous?
I went back into the camp.
What?
I doubled back around. I saw you talking to the cult leader guy or whatever it was. And when you left, I went to confront him to find out where my wife is.
Did you see her? Did you find her? I mean, obviously you didn't get her. I'm assuming she'd be here.
No. They rang that bell and I probably should have knocked him out or shot him before I tried to get her. But he rang the bell and they all came out and they were like wild animals, including her. I had her for a second. I had her in my arms and it was just too much. I had to run.
So that was that weird screeching noise? Was another bell?
Yeah, they rang a bell and all the people in the tent sort of boiled out like animals running on all fours. And my wife had this crazy makeup on. It was all insane. Just insane.
There's something really, I mean, like hypnotic, post-hypnotic suggestion or something, because after you got out and I shot that thing.
Did you kill it?
It's only got one head left, but no. I mean, it's hurt, but yeah. It's still up.
You didn't get a good look at it, did you?
Not really. I was too busy shooting it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not sure how much of a look I wanted to get it three-headed.
Yeah.
I got enough nightmares. But the bell rang, but it was like a normal bell.
Mm-hmm.
Or more normal, whatever. I was like a church bell, almost. And everybody just stopped. They were all panicking. They were freaking out. And then suddenly, nothing. Does he drug them or something to get them to, like...
I can't tell. I confronted him in his little tent shack thing, and he obviously didn't give me much to go on. I didn't tell him I was with you, but he kind of assumed, and I was just trying to get my wife back.
I mean, there's nothing, like, he was expecting feds. There's no way he doesn't know about the other team.
Yeah.
And, like, you think he did something to them? I mean, he told me that that thing just showed up a couple of weeks ago and they didn't have anything to do with it.
Do you believe him?
Here's the thing. He's not afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely not afraid of anything.
And I don't know that he actually feels like he has any reason to lie.
True, but, I mean, who knows what's going on in this crazy town and what they're covering up, what people are doing here.
There is some, for sure, some crazy fucking shit happening.
Yeah, there's something in that cannery, something in this town.
But no offense, but, like, that guy knew we were there. He knew exactly where I was. He was not even surprised to see me at all.
That's not good.
Beyond the fact that, like, we didn't exactly make a stealthy exit.
Yeah, I know.
So he's going to be expecting us to come back. We need to find another angle.
We do. We got to get into the cannery. I think if we can get into the cannery tomorrow, maybe during daylight hours, come up with some ruse, some excuse, some, I don't know, something to get us through the door, I think that's where the answers are going
to
be.
I think this is a really good place to actually stop this episode. Not everything has to be cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys so much. That was a lot of fun. Where are you guys at? We'll start with Jay.
You can find me, Jay Holtham, on the internet at Jay Holtham and all the social places. And you can also find me on occasion playing games with Happy Jacks and at other times playing games on It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel.
And Pooja?
Hi, I am Pooja. You can find me on Twitter at LA Daisy Girl. That's LADESI Girl. And pretty much everywhere else is Forgotten Saves. You can also find me on the Happy Jacks and occasionally on It's Probably Okay Games. Because yeah. Jay and I just like to go to all the same places.
All the old familiar places.
It is funny. Thank you guys so much. As you know, dear listeners, this is our thank you podcast to our Patreon. We really appreciate your support, and we hope you're enjoying our game. I know I am. I'm very excited to see what happens next. I really thought we were going to lose Parker this time, but we did not. So episode 8, we will find out more. And then, of course, we are going to be getting back to the storyline with Michelle and Mac. It's just been a crazy couple of months. So thank you again for supporting the show, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.